All right, guys, it's game on right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. There was no doubt we're always going to start on that very, very upbeat note because the Super Eagles of Nigeria have won against Cape Verde out there away from home in the second of their Qatar 2022 World Cup qualifying encounter in Group C. So Super Eagles of Nigeria sit top of that group with maximum points from two games now, and it is all happy times for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. That's why we played this song from Austin Malino, or Malino, I'm not so sure about how it's pronounced now, but it's Don't Worry About, Super Eagles are celebrating. We here in the studio are celebrating, and I'm sure you out there are celebrating as well. All right, corrections. There's Austin Milano.
Milando.
Forgive me there for not being so correct with the name, but it is game on now on 99.3 Nigeria Info, the nation's first news talk and sports station. A couple of minutes after the Super Eagles of Nigeria, led by the German tactician Gernot Rohr, got all 3 points, rather fortuitously, you want to say, against Cape Verde. But who cares at this point in time? The Super Eagles of Nigeria are flying, and they are flying high indeed. Welcome to Game On once again on this dial, the nation's first news talk and sports station. I am Samuel Victor Akman, reporting for a match day. I want to say match day duties, as I always love to say, but reporting for duty today, as always, on a Tuesday. And it is happy times for us. I have to say this. I can't say this enough. It's happy times. It's a very, very wonderful way to come into the studio and start off the show on a Tuesday. Super Eagles of Nigeria defeated Cape Verde by 2-1 away from home, like I said, in the second of the African Cup of Nations qualifier. I'm not alone in the studio. You know, we at Femi and the gang, we always roll like a pack of wolves, like a pride of lions, like a I've forgotten my English language. What do they call all those things? Like a hive of bees, like a crash of elephants. I hope I'm getting it correct. If not, my English teacher will be embarrassed at this point in time. But we always roll together. And joining me on the broadcast, as always, is Anthony Dimwaka. Anthony, a very good evening to you. Welcome to Game On. And I must say, are you as excited as I am for the Super Eagles of Nigeria winning today?
Well, yeah. I'm supposed to be.
You're supposed to be, but you don't look like you are.
No, I'm just calm, all right?
You shouldn't be calm.
No, why?
You should be busting tables.
Come on. I feel like, you know, the road is still far. Yeah, so, it's all right to be excited. You know, I am excited that we won, but I am not over the moon, all right, which is expectedly so. So, yeah.
Are you over the sun? I'm just asking.
Over the stars, me. But I mean, Sam, great feeling to be here on just a few minutes after the Super Eagles proved a lot of people wrong. And we're happy. So hopefully it's going to be a very good show. I can't wait to hear from the fans, really.
Yeah, certainly.
I'm sure that for those who were able to see that game, they would have lots of things to actually say, and I'm looking forward to it. It's game on. Ishe
certainly is better in, if my Yoruba come English is correct. Well, welcome once again, Anthony, to the broadcast. And also joining us on the broadcast is Adeze Michael. I'm not so sure if she's as excited. The look on the face doesn't tell the story, but if you know Adeze Michael, there's always something with her. The face is quite different from the feeling. But Adeze, good to see you once again. Welcome to Game On. Are you excited about the Super Eagles of Nigeria winning?
Well, good evening, Lagos. I'm not excited. I'm not angry either. I'm just there. I think I'm happy to be here. And looking at your show prep, Sam, it looks very, very interesting discussions. I hope that it does make my day at the end of the day.
All it takes is coffee and donuts or bottle of wine.
I really like you know, that kind of show prep, you see, gets you excited. You can't wait to, you know, sink your teeth and, you know,
and it came in early,
analyze,
right?
It bit by bit.
It
also came in, you know, say your network, they shake sometimes. The network will shift, enter fine frequency. Sometimes it will be stuck.
Stuck
between radio station. But in any which way, I'm happy for this particular, you know, episode. And of course, wherever you are, you don't want to move a muscle. We've got so much to offer you as usual. We are the best in the land. You can take that to the bank.
Certainly, and you will cash that one in. And of course, there's only one way to crown off introductions on the show on a Tuesday, and it is introducing the boss of all boss, the freshest, like I will always love to say. It's Chuma Nolly El Rimero in the building. Chuma, what can I say? A very good evening to you. Welcome to Game On.
I'm sure Emmanuel Latham is somewhere, you know, heading back to his territory after all the brilliant stuff he did on television earlier this evening. He's going to be listening to this broadcast and like, Samuel, that boy, that boy, that coffee stuff he was asking for, I'm not going to give it to him anymore. Chuma will buy it for him at this moment. Great to be here, man. Good evening to you and delighted to be part of the broadcast. It's always a marathon session on Tuesdays. Not even the Monday show gives me as much of that mindset of guy, you go this studio to the end as the Tuesdays give me. So I'm delighted to be here, man.
Always, always. So then you've met the cast. There's Samuel, Victor Akman, there's Anthony Dimwaka, there's Chuma Nolly, and of course, there's Adeze Michael on the broadcast. Guys, remember, you can watch us live on Facebook. We are there, so you can go over to Nigeria Info 99.3 to catch the broadcast. You can see all of us in the studio here. And of course, be part of the conversation. We're talking the Super Eagles extensively today, dissecting the match we just saw a couple of minutes ago finish out there at the Estadio Nacional de Cape Verde in Cape Verde, Nigeria, defeating Cape Verde by 2-1 out there. Anthony the voice, but Nigeria defeating Cape Verde by 2-1 out there. And Dylan Tavares had opened the scoring for Cape Verde on 20 minutes, but Victor Osimhen exactly 10 minutes later responded with a goal to make it 1-1. And then late on, it was drama out there in the 76th minute as an own goal from Kenny Santos gave Nigeria a 2-1 lead. And even though it was quite nervy in the last few minutes of that game, in the final minutes of that game, Gernot Rohr's men held on for the 3 points out there. Before we get into all of the, you know, tactical analysis and, you know, dissecting that game, let me just give you an idea of the starting 11 for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. We know 7 players or the English-based contingent returned to England after that 2-0 win over Liberia on Friday here at the Teslim Balogun Stadium. Maduka Okoye was in goal. Moses Simon, Ahmed Musa made history today. He joins the exclusive 100 club for the Super Eagles of Nigeria when he captained the side out there at Cape Verde. So he now has 100 caps officially for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. So a very, very important one that must be celebrated and expatiated on as well. Bonke Innocent was also in the Super Eagles side. Chidozie Awuzie, Abdullahi Shehu, Jamilu Collins, Kenneth Omero, good to see him back in the side. Victor Osimhen, the goal scorer, Kingsley Michael, and of course Chidera Ejike all started for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Ahmed Musa was replaced by Terry Murphy. Moses Simon was also replaced by Henry Onyekuru in the game. Victor Osimhen was taking off, and Paul Onoachu came on in his place. And Chidera Ejike also went off for Zaidu Sanusi to come into the side for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Where to start? Let's talk about the ramifications or the importance of what it means for Nigeria to have recorded this victory. First of all, the table says Nigeria sits up with two wins, maximum points from 2 games played, and looking very, very pretty at this point in time. Anthony, starting off with you, what's your summation of the game? 90 minutes of football, Nigeria winning again for me, for Tuitasli. But who cares? We take the goal. It was an own goal from the Cape Verde, side. But what did you make of the performance from the team?
Well, I mean, it was impressive. That's the word I'm going to use to describe it. I was watching in pockets, you know, struggling with the Nigerian network. but I was able to really, really have a grip of, you know, most of the time in the game. And to be honest, I was surprised because, you know, prior to this one, I was scared, or will I say worried, as to how this team would fare against a very attacking minded team. And I mean, we talked about this extensively on Sunday. But you know, the boys showed, they showed character, pretty much. They showed that they can turn up when you need them to. And I must say credit to them. After the first 20, 25 minutes, you know, it was obvious that we were in control of the game. Yes, we didn't have the quality of Ndidi or the creativity of Alex, but you could see that, you know, the boys had a plan and how they wanted to go about that game, spreading the ball out wide. First of all, we played with a 4-3-3, you know, which was obviously clear. Get those balls to the wide, you know, angles, and, you know, find Osimhen, who was also a fox in the box. Terrific performance he also had. So AJK, I was buzzing to actually see him for CSK Moscow, and I was glad that he actually started and he showed what he can bring to the Eagles. I talked about him on Sunday having, I think, just one cap or so, and even that game he came on very, very late. But you know, you could see, you know, the moves from a natural winger, and the way he was able to take on players, attempt on goal, and all of that quality play coming from him. The likes of Musa also, had an okay game, wasn't particularly out of the world. And just for the records, this will be his 99th, not 100, not a century yet. FIFA has...
Okay, according to FIFA...
Yes, so according
to
FIFA.
99.
Yes, 99. I think there was, or there is a disparity that... Yeah, there was minus
NFF,
two.
The NFF on its social media, they called it 100.
Yeah, but it's actually minus two. So
we'll go
plus FIFA, of course. But generally, it was good. The likes of Kingsley Michael, the other young lad, Bonke, who, you know, was pretty much sitting deep and holding things, was very good. And the distribution from Kenneth was sublime. You know, the way he was able to spread the ball from left to right and all of that. It was a better performance than what we saw, you know, some few days back at the Teslim Balogun Stadium. You know, they were able to bring the ball. Yes, it was a far better performance. They could string passes.
Lesser in terms of quality, but better performance
but
for you.
Better performance. You know, they were able to string the ball around. They were able to, I mean, you could see that there was some sort of cohesion. Jamilu Collins had a fantastic game, you know, coming from the flanks. All of them played pretty well. So, we could have scored more than just, you know, two and all of that, but we'd make do with it. It's an away game, and to be honest, the most important thing was to actually win, and which we actually did. Also, good decision from the coach in terms of the substitutions. They were all timely, and they were the right substitutions at the right time. So, it's an improvement, all right, but, you know, like I said, while I was making my introductory remark, It's still early days. We have got how many more to actually go?
Four more games.
Yeah, four more to actually go. So we have to stay humble, stay calm, and, you know, see this process all the way to the final qualifiers. I'm buzzing for them, and I'm very sure that Coach Gennaro will be happy with the shift the boys have put in today.
Certainly, Gennaro will be happy as to the performance. He was given a task, which is... many said 4 points will be okay. I mean, we spoke about this on the broadcast a couple of weeks ago. 4 points will be okay performance for him. Some of the callers said, no, you have to get a six. Gennard Raw has come up with that 6 points. And I'm sure to a large extent, Chuma, it does answer to his critics as to, you know, the quality of Gennard Raw. But before I come to you, Chuma, just ask, given the listener an idea of the statistics for the game, shots on target, 2 for Cape Verde and 6 for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Possession count, 46% for Cape Verde and 52 for Nigeria. Corner kick count, 7-4 in favor of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. 3 times the team was caught offside, that's the Super Eagles, and 2 for Cape Verde. Fouls, 12 fouls committed by Nigeria and 12 for Cape Verde. So pretty much a game where the Super Eagles of Nigeria dominated, even to the point that we had more yellow cards than the Cape Verde as well. That's two yellow cards for the Super Eagles and none for the Cape Verdes, but unfortunately for them, they did put the ball in the back of their net to give the Super Eagles the 3 points. And my question now is, Chuma, Anthony did speak about the fact that some of the boys, or the boys, were quite impressive as to what we saw on Saturday, and me saying lesser quality respectfully as to what we saw on Saturday, but a better performance. Is that something you also buy into? And if it is, which of these players do you think, or the players tonight, were standout performers that Gernot Rohr really has to keep an eye on?
I think I was excited with Chidera Ejike, the guy who sported the number 8 jersey for us in the game. And I think that he's one who, if he's given more opportunities from that left-hand side of attack, I saw one trick from him. He was trying to do it, Ronaldinho, didn't get it 100% right.
Yeah.
But looks like a guy who can be exciting coming through from the flank, from the left-hand side for us. And that's good. Of course, delighted for Osimhen too, because we always want the guy to score goals. And I'm happy he found the back of the net for us in the game. I think that, to be honest, we got a bit of the success on a platter by the Cape Verdeans.
But we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. Wouldn't complain. So I wouldn't be in a hurry to buy into the sentiment of Anthony saying we did better in the game. Yeah, at the point in the second half, we passed the ball around, which is similar to what we did against Liberia, because the first 20 minutes or 15 of the second half against Liberia was good too. Yeah, so that's the kind of feeling I'll get coming through from the game. I know we have a commercial break.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, we'll take that commercial break. Now, when we come back, there's more on Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm sure you're dancing to this one as well as we are in the studio, still celebrating the Super Eagles of Nigeria. I wanted to say qualify. I'm going to ahead of myself.
Happen, don't worry. Amen. Amen in advance.
Picking maximum points out there at Cape Verde, the Estadio Nacional, the Cape Verde venue for that bigger qualifier between the Super Eagles and Cape Verde. Finished Nigeria 2, Cape Verde 1, Nigeria 2, full time score. Victor Osimhen getting the goal for Nigeria. Dylan Tavares had opened the scoring for the Cape Verdeans, but then an own goal late on in the second half confirmed the 3 points for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Welcome back to Game On. There's Samuel Victor Ackman here in the building alongside Anthony DeVoice. I got it right. Anthony DeVoice, Chuma Anoli, and of course Adeze Michael. Let's also introduce a friend of the house. Wale Agbede joins us as well. I'm sure you've heard his voice a couple of weekends ago on the Football Frenzy broadcast. But Wale, good to see you. Welcome to the show. And I guess congratulations are in order as concerns the Super Eagles of Nigeria.
Good evening. Good to be on the show tonight. It was a very good result, especially I met you guys discussing the expectations of many Nigerians who were pretty content with coming back home with a point. 4 points in the first two games seemed like it was going to be enough, but Gernot Rohr and the guys have, you know, executed this international week with the World Cup qualifiers to perfection, because I mean, 6 points and, you know, a win, and I mean, maybe two more wins definitely seals the place of the Super Eagles in the next World Cup.
All right, there, you've heard the voice of Wale. Chuma, let me come back to you. We're trying to make a point there before Zetados interrupted rather rudely.
But still your friend, though. It just has to happen.
It has to be a friend, if not.
Yeah, so I was basically saying that for me, it was a good game. Yeah, I'll not be in a hurry, though, to want to buy sentimental Anthony to say it was a better game and better performance for Nigeria than what we saw against Liberia. The best part of this is the fact that we have a chance to keep building, and the next set of matches we have against Central African Republic, home and away, win those games, get 12 points. Let's not go ahead of ourselves, because this is just the second round of qualifying. We have a third round to come where we are likely to face the big boys, because at that stage it's going to be all of the 10 sides who top their respective groups who have to cancel each other out for 5 slots for the World Cup next year. But so far I'm excited, and I think Gernot Rohr is somehow always finding a way to respond to critics, because when it comes to friendly matches he has been terrible with us. We've lost to Algeria, we couldn't beat Tunisia, we lost to Cameroon too in one of those two-legged friendly fixtures. But when you speak about qualifying matches lately, he beat Benin Republic, didn't he? He beat Lesotho here in Lagos. He's gotten victory over Liberia. He's now done these, so like 4 straight qualifying fixtures if you add the AFCON qualifying series to this World Cup. And looks like Rohr is getting it right, but I still do have a challenge with Rohr as I wrap up with my thoughts on this issue. I don't understand if he and Paul Onuachu have an issue with themselves, because I don't understand why you bring Onuachu in for just 8 minutes in the final 8 minutes of the game. In the 82nd minute, that's when you brought the guy into the fold, because it was glaring there was some vulnerability in the defensive lineup for Cape Verde when it came to crosses. First goal we scored was a cross mistake for them. Osimhen took advantage. We had a chance to. We had a few crosses that came in, and there was, pardon my use of that word, discombobulation in the heart of that Cape Verde defense. And you have Onoachu, who's what, 6 feet four, 6 feet six tall, whose height could have counted for us, and you didn't bring him in early enough. We should have taken advantage of those mistakes from the Cape Verdeans, which eventually led to our second goal, of course. Putting more crosses. Have a tall guy. Osimhen and Nacho could have worked together and given us perhaps more goals. So Roy is doing well with the results, but I'm one person who doesn't get carried away by the results. I'm one who's keen to see that we do better as to our display, and I think that we could have done better today.
All right. We could have done better when it comes to the performance, if not the result, according to Chuma and Nali. Adese, let me come down to you and ask. Chuma has mentioned something I was going to ask about the... Because it can't always be rosy. There's always a downside or the negative to every good performance. He's mentioned one flaw. Before we get back to looking at more flaws, what do you think has been most impressive two matches in for the Super Eagles of Nigeria? He's won both, but as a team and even as the manager, what has been most impressive or what other things have been most impressive about these qualifiers for Nigeria?
The most impressive things is that, first of all, there's 6 points in the kitty. I think that has to be the only, in my own opinion, the only impressive that there's 6 points in the kitty. But in terms of conviction, in terms of pragmatism, in terms of tactical discipline, in terms of dominance, in terms of mental and psychological advantage, I could go on and on, people. I'm really impressed. Today, yeah, you read some statistics today about Super Eagles being dominant. I mean, they were not dominant. Sometimes these stats, we don't get carried away with it.
What they were domination?
They were neither here nor there. Today, they were neither here nor there. They were just there, you know, like, let's play the game. We are the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Probably our pedigree is going to see us through. The big names we parade today is going to see us through. Psychologically, we are both, you know, the Blue Sharks of Cape Verde. And, well, let me look at how that first goal came, first of all. That first goal was a moment of lack of concentration, first of all, a moment of lack of communication. And then the goalkeeper we have is not the surest. Look at the way Maduka considered that goal. Yes, he was exposed once again by his defense. But then we've seen situations. I'm not going to juxtapose him with the biggest names in Europe, no. But then I feel as a goalkeeper, you keep evolving, you keep getting better. What goalkeepers do basically is they have who they model their game towards. Players, we have, you know, a lot of people, I want to play like this person, I want to be like that person, I'm modeling my game to that person. I expected Maduka Okoye to, a lot of persons have also asked questions about why he is our number one goalkeeper. Now, I expected him when he was exposed by his defense, maybe that it happens once in a while when defenders are dragged out of their shape and position. And then that Blue Sharks player held on to the ball, and then he was rushing towards his side. It was more like very close to him. I expected Maduka Okoye not to wait for the ball there. You can rush out as a goalkeeper, spread your frame, and see if you're... Because as normally, as a striker, the next instinct is to just shoot. Yeah. And the guy came so close to him to shoot. If he had just come out, distract him a little... We've seen Thibaut Courtois do it not once, not twice. Just close him down. Spread your frame as a goalkeeper. That is why you're there. So that has left us with a big loophole. That goalkeeping department. Some of us have cried for Daniel Akpeyi. Maybe why is he not? This guy is a big boy in South Africa, well respected. Maybe because he's juxtaposed Red Devise and South Africa. Maybe he feels. But then Maduka Okoye, even at his club, not fantastic. He shipped in over. If my stats serves me right now, about 25 goals last season or more, yeah. So,
he's playing for Sparta Rotterdam.
Sparta Rotterdam. But then we have, I think, talking about Akpeyi, I think Akpeyi somehow would have, you know, put in a shift. But at that aside, the Super Eagles of Nigeria, not the perfect, you know, performance. But then, the most important thing is that we got the result. But in terms of style of play, that team spirit, that chemistry that we yearn for as Nigerians, that moment of, you know, making us to jump out of our seats with some eye-catching display. We didn't see that. I don't know if
doesn't
maybe...
Doesn't the fact that the quality was a bit subdued count for...
I don't know about quality being subdued. The only hungry...
Seven, starters.
The only hungry and live wire player we had there has to be Starboy. And then I thought Musa starting that game would have been a live wire, being that leader. I didn't see that. So, I mean, well, maybe we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed. Yes, in terms of improvement from what we saw a couple of days ago in Lagos, fantastic. There was a slight improvement. We saw the tempo increase. But in terms of the result now, fine. But then we need to do a lot more better. The super, see, we want to sit down at home. And then when we watch our national team play, we're clapping our hands. And then we have something to, you know, to give us that spine tingling moment. But we didn't see all those, my people. Hopefully, Raw will just have to, you know, find a way to just maybe let's improve the style of play, first of all. And again, the substitutions, once again, questions have been asked. Who do you bring on? Why do you... I mean, timing. Timing is of essence. As a coach, you should be able to be... you should be pragmatic enough to know when to bring in who. And but he leaves them till maybe towards the end of the game. And then he brings someone he feels he should bring in. I mean, what are we saying, people? A whole lot of work needs to be done in this Super Eagles team.
All right, I guess I don't have to say anything more because my old guy is here, head of news Nigeria. I will say it, head of news.
Good evening, everyone.
I can call head of news, Kule FM, Wazuba FM, Nigeria for Lagos. Thank you. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir.
Chris, the warrior of Africa.
You look like you're about to let off.
Yeah, because I started hearing Ada from the newsroom, and I'm...
So Ada brought you to the studio.
Yes, you were going to go and
Why
you
Ada?
Back.
Why Ada now? Why would I? Everybody have spoken. Why me?
Hold on. Ain't nobody care about how we play.
Okay.
Right now.
It's fine.
Qualification is the ultimate.
Yeah.
In 2006, when we failed to get to the World Cup, did anybody talk about how great we played? No. The bottom line right now is...
get the ticket.
Freaking get the ticket.
Okay.
You can go to the World Cup and, you know, preparations for it, the friendly matches we want to play, you can start talking about, oh, are we doing well? Are we not doing well? Is this... But right now, 90%, in fact, 99% of the priority is get that ticket to Qatar 2022.
Okay.
If we get it, and I'm repeating it again, ain't nobody care about whether it was own goal that we scored today that made up. See, in history, when we remember this match
this
of tonight,
day, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be stated that Nigeria beat Cape Verde 2-1.
Not how we played.
That's the first thing you hear. Not how we played. Not whether we scored with own goal or it's later, maybe in the body of the story.
Yeah, that as you used to teach me, just know, start with Ibuja and then put all those commanders.
News lead.
Catchy headline.
This is why he was beaten in the River State Swan Cup. And he had to lose his job. I became the coach of that side. And in my own case, it's just that my attacker messed me up. We would have won a medal there.
Excuse
me. The score can't mindset to this. No, we got to the semi-finals.
But you lost.
No, but I got to the semis.
the same semi-finals I got to. But on a more serious note, though, yes, I can understand, and it's a problem that Genotro has had for 5 years or there about now.
Yeah,
like
5 years.
Manager. Mm. You know, the complaints we've had regularly has been playing style, not playing particularly well. Feels like you don't even know what strategy. It feels like anybody Belefe is, you know. But the good news for him is that he almost gets the job done. At least when it comes to qualification. Even if I'm one of those who believe that qualification is not so much of a big deal. Yes, I know before he came to the saddle, we had those issues. Yeah, but with qualification for me, especially now, if this was 1994, when we only had three teams or two teams, you know, when it was a real struggle, I can celebrate qualification. Africa has 5 slots. In fact, in 2010, we had 6, Abi.
Yeah, 2010.
You know, we had 6. Yeah. So, qualification is, I wouldn't say almost guaranteed, but a little less problematic like it used to be. Mm. You know, so for now, the ultimate is get that ticket to World Cup. Because if we don't, trust me, a lot of us will lose money. A lot of us will lose money.
I can't come.
The businesses will not have so much time or so much interest in the World Cup to come and place ads or sponsor programs. But if Nigeria Super Eagles are there, trust me, Nigeria is going to make a lot of money.
And that's
what
we want.
Let's just
that's
say the way it is. Businesses will come to advertise. Our sports shows will have sponsors. People will have... Most Nigerians who don't care about football will care because it's the national team. So that's the only thing for now, qualify. Later, we can start talking about You play well, you don't play well.
Sam, have you seen the difference in conversations? This is now a managerial angle.
But also,
when Nigerian people make money. Oh my God, what is all this?
There's always the revenue part of it. But
I'm keen to find out what Wale has on his mind, because I know you talk about people that make money when we qualify for these things. These are the kind of people that make money. Mm-hmm. So let's look at his angle.
All right, Wale, we're going to go to the phone lines very, very shortly and get your thoughts. I think it's only deserved that we give this conversation as much time as we can on the broadcast. They will hear enough. We will hear more than enough from you. 0700-993-993-993. Of course, we've got a special line for our female callers. 01465.
Which has been acting up lately, though.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
so
it's
you,
still
you could
I'm
try,
sure
but we're not so sure if that's going through. If you can get through, then you should call the regular 0700-993-993-993. Or you can simply send us a message on WhatsApp. 0809597-5805. 0809597-5805. We're live on Facebook, so you can also drop your comments. I will do well to take all of your comments as well on the broadcast. Before we go and do a round table and take the scorecard for the two performances, two games played, two wins, four goals scored, one conceded. We'll just take a scorecard from 1 to 10, what you make of that team's performance. Wally, let me hear from you as regards your analysis and summation for the game before we go to the phone lines to take the thoughts of the listener.
Yeah, for me, I think it was a good game. A good game because I tilt towards what the Ogada just left, what he said.
Ogada top.
In the sense that it's basically just results at the moment. And I am one who likes to enjoy the game. I'm one who wants to watch a game and see how the manager is trying to do things, trying to solve problems, trying to create problems for the opposition, you know, trying to find avenues, unconventional avenues or unusual avenues to win games. But in the end, the essence of everything is to win games. And I think that the name that easily pops in the minds of people who talk about great football, great in quote because it's subjective, is Pep Guardiola. And you talk about Pep Guardiola, Johan Cruyff and the likes, and these guys do the things they do because they want to win. So they have ideas which are influenced by so many different things. The culture of where they grew up, or, you know, where they learned football, or all of these different experiences they've had in their lives. These things play a part, right? But those are not the real essence of getting on the pitch to play. Guardiola wants to go on the pitch to win. He wants to play well whilst doing it.
Yeah.
He wants to play a certain way, right? But he wants to win. So we're going to throw, I think that there's an unnecessarily exaggerated burden of expectation on how his team to play. His team is expected to play. So he's been there for almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
In those 5 years, he's had to play with about three generations of players. The players who are in the squad right now, with Osimhen was breaking ball too at the last Nations Cup because he wasn't getting game time. Now Osimhen is the first choice striker.
Yeah.
So just less than 2 years ago, Osimhen was not in the team. Right?
Yeah.
There are guys who are in this team now who weren't in the team 2 years ago. When he came in, the likes of Moses Simon, Samuel Kalu,
yeah,
those guys weren't mainstays in the side. So when there continues to be a recycling of the squad that is available, especially at international level, even at club level, if you're having to work with different squads every season, you struggle to make an imprint as regards style of play. Right? Mm. Okay. So it means, and of course, at the international level, it's way more difficult. So you can point to examples. The Spain national team under Luis Aragonés and, of course, Vicente del Bosque. You can talk about how they played great football at the Euros and at the World Cup. But that football was mostly a factor of the football they were already playing at their club sites.
Now, is that not something we are asking Gernot in 5 years, regardless of the transition he's having with the players, to create for the team?
Yeah, so
when you bring these new generation of players, it's a lot more easier to put that imprint on them.
So you know the problem? The problem is you look at teams who have a style of play. Majority of the time, they are teams who have players who play together in a certain kind of way, in a certain kind of culture that is very similar.
Okay.
With Nigeria, we have players scattered all over the world. It is extremely difficult if Pep Guardiola was managing the Super Eagles. Well, maybe he would achieve a little bit more in terms of style of play, right? But it would be extremely difficult.
For him
you go
as
to
well.
England, they have a certain way, they have an idea about how they say football, right? There might be different specifics as regards those who come from the north, those who come from the south, those who play under Pep, those who played under Jose, right? But there are certain similarities. So when you get to the national team, right?
Yeah.
There's a level of ease, relatively, at which a very good manager can get them to play a certain way. With Spain, with Barcelona, with Real, with Villarreal, there are similarities. With Nigeria, it is extremely difficult. You know, so again, I'm not saying it is an invalid request to say, oh, we want to know exactly how the Super Eagles play. I'm saying the burden of expectation is I think, is quite unnecessary, especially when he's a manager who has the highest win rate in the history of the Super Eagles, more than Clemens Westhoff. All he needs, I think, to cement his legacy in Nigerian football is to win the trophy.
All right. The criticisms or the evaluation or submission of Gernot Rohr will always vary from person to person as regards his performance 5 years into the job as the Super Eagles manager. But let's get to the phone lines now and hear from you, Anthony, and the rest of the team on the score. Rate the Super Eagles over 2 matches, 1 to 10. This particular international window, what would you score the team?
1 to 10.
Yeah.
6.
6?
Yeah.
That's 6. Above average. 6. All right. Juma?
Just can't lecture AB, this guy.
6.
I think I'll do 6.5.
Okay, slightly better. Mm. Wally?
I think I'll go with an 8, actually. I mean, 6 points out of 6.
That should count for something.
Yeah.
Adeze, I'm sure you go for a 2 or a 3.
No, I'm going to go for 6 because I said the same 6 on Saturday. I'm going to stick with the 6 today.
All right. I guess
Wally should be my lecturer, I beg, in life. My first class, I'll grab this one.
All right, I guess you guys are not as upbeat as I am because that's why I started off with this song. And for that reason, I'm going to give the Super Eagles an 11 over 10. All right, let's get to the phone line, 0700-993. They don't break skill.
Maybe your own lecturer.
All right, turn down the volume of your radio set when you call in so we can have a good conversation. We've got 5 minutes before another break, but we'll do as much as we can to take all of your calls. Guys, when you call in, try to keep it as short as possible. Evaluate the Super Eagles of Nigeria over 2 games and tell us what you would score Gernot Rohr on his side. Good evening to you. Hello?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good evening. What's your name?
Gentlemen.
All right, go ahead.
You know, weeks ago, you did a program here and we were debating COVID-19 players were absent. You remember very well.
Yes,
I called
yes.
that day and I said Gernot Rohr is turning around about 50 players.
Yeah, you did.
And
I remember that.
I think I'm correct now. You know, if you check what you did within Liberia and this match you just did, you see that it's close to 50 players.
Yeah.
Now, and I also said that this is the test for him. In as much as I agree with the lady there, I still don't believe that Gernot Rohr is a good coach. But I have to appreciate the zeal of today. I have to appreciate his push because I said it that day that this is the test for him and he has passed the test for me. But even at that, I don't think believe he's a good coach.
Okay.
We are fortunate. I didn't watch the match anyway.
All right.
But we are fortunate that we had our own goal.
So,
if we don't have an own goal, it would have been a draw.
You know, own goals could come from massive
pressure.
So, exactly. So
we need to start whatever I want to play now. We need to start whatever I want to play. The World Cup, we need to start now. Enjoy your day.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in. Good evening to you. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, good evening. What's your name?
Good evening. My name is Val.
Welcome, Val.
Yeah. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Great one for the team. But my own suggestion is, I think we've gotten to the stage where our coach needs to have a standby, how would I call it, build three teams. A first 11, second 11, a third 11, and if possible, a fourth 11. We have that capacity, we have the talent, we have the skills, so that at any point in time, you can just step up and take another team to a particular competition. This issue of having fright and all that when it came to this one, I don't really understand it. So his own confidence was just basically on the first 11. I think he should find a way of building a team that has a team A, team B, team C.
All right, so what positives did you see over 2 games?
I'll score them 6 over 10. They've at least they've done well. The target is get 3 points, and they've gotten the 3 points from the 2 matches. It's 6 points now.
Okay.
I'll give them 6 over 10.
All right, then. Thank you very much. You know, it's quite funny for me when people say, okay, go and get 6 over 6. And then you get 6 over, and they say, how you think? You know, yeah, you know, perform well, they get that 6. Good evening to you.
Hello, good evening, Samuel.
Good evening, Friday.
Yeah, this Friday from Bay. Good to have you in the house.
Yeah. Welcome.
See, I was surprised when Ufoma was saying that this just qualify for the World Cup is the making. Qualify. This is how some people used to say qualify for. See, what is the extent of qualify for World Cup, Samuel?
To go and win.
We are enjoying that 5 slot today because some sighted country in Africa, they did well in the World Cup. Is it not why Africa is enjoying that five slot today?
Mm-hmm.
See, somewhere. See, I when this draw was made, I was saying this. For me, this is just a friendly before the...
Friday, can, sorry, five. Sorry, I have to do this. It's happening one too many times, but you know Zeta is calling. We have to go.
Yeah, no, no
please,
problem.
Please, could you call back immediately after the break to continue your thoughts? All right, then. Thank you very much for calling. We have to go on a break, guys. When we come back, we'll stretch the conversation about the Super Eagles for a bit more, 15 to 20 minutes, and then we'll switch over to other things. Game on 99.3 Nigeria Info with Femi and the gang. Stick around, guys. We will be right back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is Game On with Femi and the gang. I am Samuel. There's Chuma. There's Anthony. There's Wale Agbede. And of course, there's Adeze Michael on the broadcast. So we've got about 2 minutes to get your thoughts before we go yet on another break. So we're going straight to the phone lines to get to hear from you. When you call in, keep it as short as possible if you can. Good evening to you.
Hello, good evening to you.
Hi there,
everybody,
good evening.
In the studio.
What's your name?
My name is Roger Omotosho.
All right, Roger, very
well,
quickly, please.
We've called it, we've won back-to-back, but are we going to that tournament to make numbers or not? I would say, with this coach, we'll still go there and make numbers. And it will be unfortunate that on with the cross of player we have now scattered over the whole world, these players will not win anything at the end of the day. Because this man has nothing to offer Nigeria.
All right.
We'll still go and make up numbers at the Nations Cup and World Cup. So, earlier the better, let's lay this man off and get another competent coach.
Okay. Thank you very much. No need to ask you to rate the Super Eagles. Good evening to you.
Samuel Vitapan.
Hi there. Good evening, Azu.
My darling, Adeze Michael. Good evening.
Welcome.
And other guys there, good evening.
You cannot even say your darling Chuma now for you. Don't mind me, I just wanted that darling line to come through.
When you start sharing that, share it out completely. All right, Azu, very quickly, please.
Okay, thank you. Coming to the win of Super Eagles today, it's a welcome one, but I'm not too much expected of this win because of that. They always pass through towards this preliminary qualifier. The time we now know that the Aurora has started its work until when the final qualifier is resumed.
Mm.
That is where I will now know whether General is the man of the man that can take Nigeria to the various level. Because this General, I don't too much trust the man. It's just like a Ateta. When time comes for him to perform, he cannot be able to perform. But of course, the match between Nigeria and Argentina, where
right,
he has some errors. So that kind of coach, I don't think that can take Nigeria to the greatest level.
All right,
that
Azu.
Watching him.
Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For calling. Unfortunately, I have to let you go because this is Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. And in case you don't know, we're just going to remind you about the dial very, very quickly.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info, the conversation.
Conversation
never stops.
The state government asked that schools should not resume till January because of COVID-19. Now,
Nigerians don't know that there are people who are called laborers at the very bottom of the economy.
Educating and informing.
So let me tell you something. It's not possible to block all the million subscribers if they buy another 80. That's only billion.
Listen to Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's talk.
I know places where the land is greener and diversity brings beauty just like the rain.
And that place certainly is 99.3 Nigeria Info, the nation's first news talk and sports station. 8 o'clock in the city of Lagos, and we're celebrating the Super Eagles of Nigeria after their 2-1 win over Cape Verde away from home. The Super Eagles are now on top of that group with maximum points from 2 games. We are asking you just to rate the Super Eagles over 2 games. We'll take 3 more calls, take your thoughts on WhatsApp, and then we'll go on to the rest of the continent of Africa and ask you a pertinent question. Haven't seen two rounds of qualifying. And of course, looking back on, you know, other World Cup tournaments we've had, who do you think will be Africa's best five? It's still early days yet, but just projecting into the future, who do you think will be Africa's best five for the World Cup to take us past that quarterfinals, you know, hoodoo we've always had there, possibly get us to the semifinals and possibly win the finals? We're speaking to, I was going to say Fini. What is it with me and Fini the judge? Me too, Adekpoju, on Friday here on Game On. I guess I want to be part of his backroom staff. And he did talk about the fact that it's still early days to start dreaming about winning the World Cup. Just asking you what you make of the representatives for Africa going into that one. Who's the best five you think Africa should provide to give us a very, very good competition out there at the World Cup? Back to the phone lines to get your thoughts on the Super Eagles. Good evening to you. Hello. All right, we lost that one. Please do well to call back. It's 0700-993-993-993. Hi there, who's here?
Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, guys.
Good evening, what's good evening.
Your name? Yeah, I'm Adam in the line.
Your name is?
Adam.
Adams. Where's Eve?
Yeah, I think the Super Eagles can try, but let them do more. Because the way they play now, I don't understand my brother. They play like big men. If you see the way they play, my brother, we look tired, like PS2. Let them play very well. This is not how they are going to
win. Are you sure you watch the same game we watch?
They're not like PS2, then they play only PS5.
You want them to play like PS5?
Watch them, my brother. They play like PS2. They are just cross, not like fantastic football in that pitch.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right.
Nothing that can make you so excited. Thank you.
All right, then. Thank you very much. Hoping that the Super Eagles can upgrade to PS5. Good evening to you. Hello? Hi there. Good evening. This is Game On. Are you there?
Hello?
Talk to me. What's your name?
Good evening. My name is Paul.
Welcome,
Paul.
Good
evening, guys.
Good evening to you. Welcome.
Looking at the countries that want to see at Qatar 2022.
No, we're talking the Super Eagles. We're talking about the Super Eagles now. Talk the Super Eagles.
Well, the most important thing, just like Ufoma said, is qualification. And the two matches played so far, we have 6 points already. I think they are doing well. And that's the most important thing. After the qualification, then we can talk about the participation.
All right, then. Thank you very much for calling in. We'll take two more calls. Good evening to you. Hello.
Hello, Sam.
Hi, Babariri.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. Good to hear from you again.
Thank you, my brother. You see, I've been an eye-opener for Ghana draw.
Okay.
If he's, concentrating on some particular players, the boys he fielded today, honestly, they did that. I love today's match than the Friday's match.
Okay.
Because at a later time, during that match, I was, shivering where I sat down. These people, they lost their team. But these boys, honestly, their cohesion was
superb, right?
I'm not telling you, because I play this game of round leather, and I know how it should be played.
So you are talking from experience.
Yes, these particular boys have played this match today, honestly. Away match, so confident.
Absolutely. And they came from behind to win.
They did not play. I don't know which match it was. Not the one match it was, honestly. These boys, like I said, it is an eye-opener for Ghana. I said this thing before even this match.
Yeah.
When we were discussing about why the boys were worried that the other boys are going back to Britain, I said, why should some particular boys be used all the time? You invite a lot of boys into the team. So the other one, was they be bench warmer? That was what I said. And then I have been vindicated. The boys that were given this chance today, honestly, they rose to the occasion and they delivered.
All right, then. Thank you very much.
That last caller, Adams, actually said that our guys were playing like PS2. You know, maybe Babarere, you were watching Tega. Sorry, Sega. You know, like, you didn't get it right. Like,
I misplayed that. I misplayed Sega.
Yeah, yeah. He shoots. Great save.
Final call for now. Good evening to you. Hello?
Yeah, hello. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is calling from Lagos.
Sorry, I missed that. What's your name?
Yeah, Rufi.
All right, Rufi. Okay, first time caller. Welcome. We love you. Applause for you. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. When I heard someone in the studio say the team was organized, they were even better than Liberia. I was surprised that it's the same match I watched, because that match was full of luck for Super Eagles. The first goal was a mistake. It was luck. The second goal was...
Guy, go now.
Yeah.
Luck, no day, go now.
I agree. We got the luck. Do you get? But do we
still... You are still saying luck. Go now, go. They're not a catch go.
Now go. It was just because the... what is it called? The Cape Verde team was shambolic. That second own goal was very crazy. If I was the coach...
Just the same way we made a mistake for them to score.
The keeper and the defender. You get, but way forward, do you want us to continue playing like this? Do you get,
as long as we are winning?
When we get to Qatar, can we play like this and get somewhere? I don't think so. If I rate them, I rate them 5 just because of the 6 points.
Okay, all right. Now they vex for this country. Now they vex. They be small after all the performances. But anyway, so big ups to the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Let's go, you know, elsewhere on the continent of Africa and look at games that are currently ongoing in Group A. It's 4 minutes on the clock. Burkina Faso and Algeria are playing out to a goalless draw. Group B, Zambia 0, Tunisia 2. That's a full-time score. Equatorial Guinea also defeated Mauritania by 1-0. In Group C, Cape Verde, like you know, 1, Nigeria 2. In Group D, Malawi defeated Mozambique by 1-0. In Group E, Angola have also kicked off against Libya. It's 4 minutes into that game in Luanda. It's 0-0. In Group G, Ethiopia 1, Zimbabwe 0. It's a full-time score. In Group H, Congo 1, Senegal 3. Big ups to the Chelsea goalkeeper, who's not part of that one, must be said, Edward Mundy, but I just had to hail him because his country have gotten the 3 points, 3-1 over Congo. In Group I, Sudan will take on Guinea-Bissau. And in Group J, Tanzania defeated Madagascar, the Malagasy side, by 3-2. That is a full-time score. And just looking across the groups now, guys, looking at what we have on the continent of Africa, I'm not going to go through all the groups because there's just too many. But the big boys are currently, you know, doing well when it comes to all the groups, the likes of Algeria in their own group. Everyone seems to be, you know, performing as it is, even though Algeria still in action against Burkina Faso 0-0, but it's a game you would expect Algeria to win. That's in Group A. Group B, Tunisia winning today, and all there's Nigeria as well. But looking at the representation for Africa, which 5 do you think will be best for this great continent to produce as a representative to take to Qatar and not just be participants like we were in Russia in 2018, but go on to do better than we did at that competition. In 2002, if I'm not mistaken, it was Senegal who went the farthest with a foreign expatriate in Bruno Metsu.
And the Black Stairs.
And the Black Stairs did it in 2010 as well.
And Cameroon before that.
Yeah, just to roping a two-in-one conversation. So we always go to this tournament and we... almost all the time with foreign coaches, Bruno Metsu, Wilfred Schaefer for Cameroon, certain Jovanovic or something for Ghana in 2010. We're masters of that, going with foreign coaches as well. Only Stephen Keshi, I think, was one that took us to 2014 as well.
Yeah, but start of 94.
94 as well. So when you look at this, which 5 countries do you think would do Africa proud? And do you think we should always go with foreign coaches? Are they the best bet to cross that quarterfinal hoodoo for African teams at the World Cup?
Uncle I.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, you just said it all. When Senegal went that far, it was a foreign coach, had a French connection to Bruno Metsu, if I remember right, with his legendary white shirt back in the day. When Nigeria went farthest, our best performance.
What's Kenny G here?
Great guy, Bruno Metsu. That year, you know, our best performance in the World Cup USA 94, it was a foreign coach, of course. And you have examples like that that you can use. And it's a problem for Africa, basically, because it feels like we cannot go far without the expertise of these guys. And that's why we love using that line, technical advisor, like you said.
Yeah,
the other time.
Yeah,
now we're
exactly.
Getting used to coach again. Then it used to look like they come with extra technicalities that are better than what African coaches can offer. But there's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel, I would say boldly. And one of those is the fact that Keshi, may God bless his soul, led us to win the AFCON in 2013, took us to the World Cup. Whatever West Ahoff achieved in 94, Keshi did it too. At least he went to the round of 16 stage of the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And the second is the fact that the current African champions, Algeria, who you spoke about, who are so high on an unbeaten run too, they've put together as many as 25 or thereabout. If Italy are on 36, Algeria are on more than 20 games unbeaten in international football. It's a local coach. It's an Algerian coach who led them to win the AFCON. It's an Algerian coach who led them to beat Nigeria that had a foreign coach in the semi-final stage of the AFCON. So that's something that should give us some level of hope. And I think, you know, in answering the other question to Algeria, I'll be certainly, from my perspective, one of those sides to get to the World Cup for Africa, unless they face Nigeria in the next round of qualifying. If they don't face Nigeria, surely they will get through to the next stage of the competition itself in Qatar, which is the main event itself. So I fear for Nigeria. From a Nigerian perspective, our local coaches can do this thing, but you know that if a local coach is in charge of the Super Eagles, there'll be too much pressure from different angles that will not allow that local coach focus. If the best of them all, the two best of them all, you know, Amadou Shuaibo again, may God bless his soul, Stephen Keshi, yeah, struggled to hold that position consistently. Even the Keshi who won the AFCON was still doubted and questioned as to his abilities. Then which local coach do you want to give that chance? Tunde Olisah came with all of the expertise from Europe, FIFA guy, technical committee guy, big boy, nine carry by himself, resigned, so I'm tired and I'm going. You know, the only other option I could think of now is Animan Lamonike. Of course, he's taken Tanzania to the AFCON before.
Yeah.
He's won on the 17 World Cup too. So that's the name I'll be thinking of. Pidindi George now is coming on for Inyimba. We hope that works. So that's it. So the reality is, maybe for 2026, we can think of a local coach for Nigeria, for the African nations to take us far. But bro, we're just a year away from the World Cup now and there's no hope. So all we can think of as Nigerian to be to have Genaro take us to that World Cup. And we pray that It's too bad. Make him at least come off from group stage. Do better than what he did in Russia. Lead us through like an usher, you know, to the next stage of the competition. So in response to your question, final point from me. For African nations, when it comes to African coaches, Algeria are the best bet for us to go far with an African coach now.
Okay.
Looking ahead to the next World Cup. For Nigeria, we have no option, man. We have to stick with Genaro Raw until after Qatar 2022.
Okay, then. Anthony?
I mean, it's, you know, really, really difficult having to see an African coach, you know, really rub shoulders on the world stage. You know, there are so many debilitating factors that kind of limits them, you know, and it's down to us fixing our football back on the African space from grassroots, from the players to the managers, to every facet. But for the time being, I mean, a lot of the foreign coaches, you know, we can go on and on how more exposed they are, you know, how they have better experience. And, you know, then again, some of them are well-traveled and they have been able to assess, you know, the kind of football that we have played across different parts of the world. Winning the World Cup is, you know, it's experience. It's, or even performing well, it's experience. It's having vast understanding on how to deal with issues depending on how different teams approach a football game. You must be vast, you know, you must know how to tackle different, you know, the formations and all of that. So it comes with its high level of demand and all of that. Talked about the fact that for now, I don't want to say we're stuck with, you know, Genaro Raw, but it does look like it.
Yeah, actually.
I think his contract expires next year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so, obviously.
We're going to stand up. The man don't try that.
Well, by some standards, he has actually tried. So, but talking about teams that I think that will be there, five teams, Algeria surely have got to be there. Their football
is the fact that they've not been at the World Cup. They weren't at the last World Cup.
Yeah.
They weren't at the previous one, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
It's been
long time absent. Yeah. You can probably say them be
freshers. They'll be like freshers at the World Cup.
No, but really for Algeria, their football is on the rise currently, and you know they're showing that they can hold on to it. You know, Belmadi have done it. Brilliant job with that team. He's put together, you know, some of the finest legs, and beyond, you know, the big names that they have, the way they play, the way they run their football is also very positive. So I feel like, you know, right now on the African space, for me, I think they would make it. I think Senegal would make it. Yeah.
And they are coached by a local coach in Aliou Cisse, former players.
Who also, you know, couldn't get out of the group stage at the last World Cup. I mean, all the whole teams from Africa were knocked out of the group stage and all of that. But, you know, I still think Senegal as a team have got enough quality to be able to qualify for the World Cup. And
hype. Chelsea.
Yeah, and I think Morocco, I think Nigeria, that's four now. And I don't want to talk about the Blacksters because their football is on a decline at the moment. They've got, I think they've got a new coach, but that side lack the quality, you know, they used to have over the years. It does look like a depleted side. And some of their players, maybe bar the likes of Partey, who, you know, pretty much seem to be one of their biggest names, the likes of Atsu, Mubarak, and some of them. I mean, Wakaso. You know, Wakaso. Yeah, there you go. So, I don't know, but for me, and I even, yeah, they lost their game against South Africa.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so, I don't know. South Africa. I can't put my money on Ghana right now. Ghana, they're not in the very best of shapes. But given that it's a household name, just maybe I'll just, you know, make them, you know, my top five.
And they are coached by, Charles Okonor. Coach. Yes. Morocco, by the way, have a foreign coach in Vahid Halihozic.
Yeah.
So that's about, we mentioned two local coaches, if you take out Nigeria, and of course, two foreign coaches, and these are the guys you all have mentioned. Ada, do you have a different opinion as to the conversation with foreign coaches and African local coaches when it comes to appearing at the World Cup?
Well, I think the gulf is too wide. This coaching thing is a gift as well. Let's not, you know...
So the local coaches don't have it?
Well... This coaching thing is a gift.
No, I want you to say they don't have it. Is it that they have it or they don't have it?
Well, if you don't have it, it's just a coach is just like a footballer. Some are born to do this naturally, you know, and others will have to learn through the ropes, rigorous processes. That's why you see this club, some of them setting up academies. You see players coming out to say, I joined this club at the age of 6, I joined at the age of 8. Systematically you're being taught how to play football, starting with passing, starting with trapping the ball as a kid. So as a coach now, it's also a gift. I mean, we have Messi's of this world. There's a Messi and there's what player will I use now? There's Mbappe. Messi and there's there's Messi and there's maybe Sebastian Haller. I mean, look at the golf now. There's Messi, there's Sebastian Haller. Or maybe there's Messi and there's, who do I put now? Maybe Jack Wilshere when he was at Arsenal. They're all footballers. One is gifted. That's what I'm trying to say. That this coaching thing is gift. Look at Pep Guardiola. He was a midfielder. But there was something about, or there is something about him and the way he has that gift of interpreting his own philosophy of football, the way he wants his team to play, the identity now, the direction, clear direction, not a vague one. And for coaches, some of them also have the gifts. That's why you see the likes of Jurgen Klopp, also another. Apart from the gift too, these German coaches, we know that there's a school somewhere in Cologne, like a factory where they go for extensive training. And that's why you see them, they're dominating. They won the World Cup, they won the Champions League, they won the Premier League. I mean, these German coaches are just exceptional. So for Africans, now let me come down to our coaches. Our coaches, maybe they are just at their level. And that level is that they're not that motivated. They just feel, okay, we can just get some of this job in and around here. Some of them are not properly equipped to take up some of these, or they'll just go in and say, okay, let's see how far we can go with this particular team. But some of them also have gone outside their way to invest in themselves by getting some of this UEFA B license, UEFA A license, but it doesn't really stop there. What is your own philosophy? Look at Thomas Tuchel. You cannot tell me that what he does, basically, nothing more different from Mourinho. He took Mourinho's dogmatic style and then transformed it, put small Maggi, crayfish and pepper on top and made it look palatable. Chelsea will dominate and Chelsea will also defend well. So it's about your gift, what you can do, your ability to replicate your blueprint, your roadmap to your team. So for Africans, do we lack exposure? And maybe football coaching maybe isn't just our thing naturally, but you have to now go extra mile. Where are you getting some of your coaching licenses? How are you getting your tactical exposure? Who are you understudying? For me, the golf is still wide, but some of them have to put respect. The likes of the coach of Al Ahly currently, Pistomani. He came out when he won that CAF Champions League. He said, hey, you guys respect Mourinho. You don't respect us, some of us. But then you don't have to blame, you don't have to blame us for not respecting African coaches that much. But because every day we see football evolving. I keep talking about it that football evolves every day. New tactics, players have been asked to even do more. These days, goalkeepers have been asked to score goals. If you're a goalkeeper and you're scoring goals, it's a plus for you. Defenders have been asked to distribute the balls in a certain way. So we have a whole lot of work to do to catch up with these guys, because every day there's a lab for football now, like a technology, just like the way you do experiments as a chemistry or physics student. There's a lab for football technology every day. It's something we really need to work hard for. As an African coach, if you want to be the best, you have to invest in yourself and make sure you go to the right school to equip yourself with modern day tactics.
So for you, clearly it's a no-no.
African can coach Africa when it depends on circumstances now, Sam. Like for instance, Keshi, when he came on, but we didn't know what it's just a one-off. Let me put it that way. Not like there's no straight jacket answer. No, African coaches are not good enough. But if you have that enabling environment, less interference, the right players, if you're lucky to meet the right generation, a blend of maybe usefulness or experience now, you understand, you could just get lucky and pull it off. Algeria, for instance, they were lucky. Everything worked for them at that particular time. Most of their players were on form with their club levels, and then he came, assembled them, and they got the result. We are not sure if they're going to replicate that same in 2020. We could see another team spring up. So I think that's how it is, basically.
And hopefully they do get a favorable group. If they go put them in the same group as Brazil, Italy, I don't think, for all their brilliance on the African continent, even the Alios, what's his name again, would do any better than we have. We've got a break to go on to, but while I'm going to come to you and wrap up this conversation, do you have any different thoughts as to this? Or do you, like me, think maybe something is brewing that we're not quite seeing yet? I mean, our dad did mention Peter Musiman, even though I was quite disappointed with those comments at the Club World Cup, where he made those comments as to, I mean, you got hammered by the new German national team manager, Bayern Munich. They beat you. You're comparing yourself with that man. Do you know the golfing class?
But I like his guts.
That's silly guts. I'm just saying. But Wale, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, well, I think that I think Adesi has made some really great points. Although, again, I see football as an extension of the society. In a society, there are, you know, different cultures, different. For instance, she made an instance of Pep Guardiola. So sometimes some things we call gifts, right, are things that we learn subconsciously from where we grew up, from the things we've had to do to survive, you know, the things that have influenced our choices growing up. With Guardiola, he got exposed to the kind of football he understands right now, playing under Johan Cruyff, right? Johan Cruyff got exposed to the kind of football he knew, right, in his lifetime as a footballer and as a player and as a manager under Reinhard Michels, who was former Dutch and Ajax manager. And Ajax in itself as a club is a reflection of what is a general football culture in the early 1900s in the Netherlands as a whole. Do you understand? You know, so there's a conscious, train of events that have happened that has led to Pep Guardiola. Do you understand? Okay. So that it seems like it's a gift, right? It seems so easy. It seems like, oh, this guy just sees football like this. But it is not 100% so. Unfortunately for African coaches, the environment isn't as... Guardiola is more conducive now, because I mean Guardiola was born in Spain, you know, he has had access to great football training facilities as a young boy. at the Camp Nou, played for Barcelona, had the opportunity to work under some of the greatest managers, right, in football history. And then now as a manager, because obviously he's European and Spanish, played for big clubs, he had the opportunity to manage one of the biggest clubs in the world. If Guardiola, with the same everything about him, abilities, intelligence, was born in, say, Liberia, he probably doesn't make it out. You know, so again, I will not come here and say that African coaches aren't good enough. But on the basis of what we've seen so far, on the basis of, I mean, putting into context all of the surrounding circumstances, right? They just aren't good enough. You know, so you can talk about how, oh, Mosimane is doing well with Alakli. Is Alakli.
That's arguably the best environment on the African continent.
You know, people go to Alakli and win, you know, right? He's not doing something that hasn't been done before. You know, so again, I'm not saying he isn't good enough, but how many African managers do we have that are good enough? How many of them in African football generally, leave the coaches, African football generally, how many of the players?
All right, Wale, please just hold that thought. We go on a break. When we come back, you tell us more about the terrain on the African continent. And then we'll also talk F1 and the US Open as well. This is Game On with Femi and the gang. We'll be right back shortly. I need to stop hanging around Tony because he's starting to change my idea of music. I mean, this is nice, but...
What do you mean? Come on. That's some cool jam.
It is cool.
I have to even look behind me because, you know, Wale is well endowed. So when he said, bounce your body or we bounce you out, you know, and I was seated by him. I was wondering if you had plans to use him to bounce me out of this
today. Are you trying to say he's a bouncer?
It certainly looks the part.
Yeah, kind of.
Anyway, guys, welcome back to Game On right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are the nation's first news talk and the sports niche station. We've been talking extensively about the Super Eagles of Nigeria and the World Cup qualifiers that are currently ongoing on the continent, talking the victory the Super Eagles recorded, talking about the African teams that will best represent the country at the Mundial come next year, and of course the quality of the coaching as well. But Adeza's got NNL results for us.
Yeah.
Games being played. We have to talk about it. It's very, very important.
Of course.
NNL results, Adeza.
Grassroots football, the most important, you know, part of it, actually. We had a couple of games today. Let me start with the first one. We witnessed Gombe United versus El Kanemi Warriors, ended in a 1-0 draw there. They shared the spot. And for Bendel Insurance and Shooting are doing great things. They won Bendel Insurance by 2-1 right there. And of course, the governor have just told them, hey, you guys take this 1 million naira and just enjoy yourselves because of that first victory. And the game involving Niger, Tornadoes and DMD ended in a barren affair. That is it for match day one. Gombe United won, El Kanemi Warriors won, Bendel Insurance won, Shooting Stars 2, DMD up against Niger Tornadoes ended in a barren draw. So that's it, match day one, NNL playoffs right there in Enugu.